This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Mets are playing well. They'll play tonight against the Giants. They took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. Yankees, they're not hitting, but somehow they're winning plenty of games. And
yeah,
they're sitting with the Orioles atop the AL East. They got shut out today, 2-0 by the Oakland A's. Fourth time they've been shut out this year.
The A's of somewhere.
The A's of somewhere. Fourth time.
How many last year?
I'm not sure, but I know that the most in baseball right now is 7 by the White Sox, who were dreadful, and that's the most of any team since 1901, this few games into the season. So 4 times the Yankees have been shut out, and 2 times they've been shut out 2-0 in the last 3 games, so that's something they have to solve. Rangers win yesterday, and they'll play again tomorrow, so they're 1-0 over Washington. The Knicks won on Saturday, and now they play tonight, and they could take a stranglehold on the series, so I do wonder, does Philadelphia think that sitting Embiid today gives him a chance to be close to 100%? They'll take the loss, and then they'll have as close to a fully healthy Embiid for the last 5 games, which they'd have to win 4 of them, and they wouldn't have home court advantage. I think he's going to play, though.
Yeah, especially with Game 3 being Thursday.
Right.
So they've got the extra, you know, the travel's nothing, right? It's just a couple hours down the turnpike. So it's not like there's really any kind of aggressive travel. You're going to get the extra day off anyway. So you got to try to see if you can't find a way to get the split. I understand, and maybe if you're down significantly at some point, you can kind of pull the plug on them and live to fight another day. But I think you want to try to get this game if you can. Now, let me ask you this. If Maxey doesn't play,
then I might sit him.
Then you might have to say, well, listen, if we got a compromised Embiid, no Maxey, what are our chances of winning this game? All right, listen, the old Pat Riley, a series doesn't change till a team loses a home game. Let's get everybody rested. Let's go get them Thursday and see if we can't climb back on the series at home. We've got to win a game at the Garden. It doesn't have to be games 1 or 2. It could be game 5. It could be game 7. That might be a thought. But if Maxey goes, I think the Embiid's got to give it a try.
And I think Maxey will go. I mean, I don't know how sick he is. It stinks to work when you're sick, let alone, you know, do what he has to do. I'm also going to keep a close eye on how they defend Brunson. And I think that what they did on Saturday was the smart play. Stop Brunson, who's been unstoppable, and then dare the other teams to beat him, or the other guys to beat him. And for a while, it didn't look like they would. But McBride comes off the bench and has a big, big game. And then Josh Hart starts connecting on threes in the fourth quarter. DiVincenzo was absent. Didn't really do much. Josh Hart didn't do much in the first half, but then got hot. And Jalen Brunson missed 18 shots. So it's funny. I guess there are 2 prisms in which you could look. If you're the Knicks, you say, well, one of the top 5 players MVP voting in the league had a terrible game and we won. Now, if you're the Sixers, you could go, well, the reigning MVP got hurt, didn't play well in the second half, and we weren't blown out. So I guess you could color it whichever way you want to make yourself feel good, but it's going to be an interesting game tonight, and I think a lot of it rests on Embiid and whether or not he could go close to full strength.
Yeah, because that's the difference, right? Is Embiid is what everybody thinks is their best chance to win. So that I don't know how you felt about Game 1. They almost let it slip away. They didn't. Embiid had his moments, but if they, you know, if everything's equal, could that be a game they could lose tonight? Sure, but Embiid to me is the X factor in this one. I'm counting up the Yankees shutouts.
4
this year.
Right.
Last year they had their 4th time shutout, July 7th, and overall looks like they got shut out 8. Yeah, so they were shut out quite a bit. 9. Yeah, it happened a bit.
Well, remember, though, 10. I mean, you said they didn't get number 4 until July, right? They were great until Judge got hurt.
Right.
They, like, they were gonna,
10. Yeah, 10 times they were
shut out. And then once Judge went down, they couldn't hit. Nobody could hit.
Well, it's the same thing here, right? You know, Judge isn't hitting, and the rest of the offense isn't hitting as well.
Now, a big story, it's going to be all over the news and SportsCenter and the newspapers. Hunter Wendelstedt in the first inning threw out Aaron Boone. And Aaron Boone didn't say a word. So here's what he said. Brian Hoke of MLB.com got a chance to talk with him. And he said that Hunter said he heard something from the area of the dugout. And rather than determine who said it, quote, Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens in the dugout. I don't want to eject a ball player. We need to keep them in the game. That's what the fans pay to see. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected. Now, he goes on to say, apparently what he said was there was a fan right above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. In the entirety of my career, I've never ejected a player or a manager for something a fan has said. I understand that's going to be part of a story or something like that because that's what Aaron was portraying. I heard something coming from the far end of the dugout, had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one that had to go.
Is that true? Is that how you understand it?
This is Hunter's rule. I've never heard that rule.
Oh, so it's just the rule that he abides by.
Yeah, I don't want to throw out a player, so I'll just blame it on the manager.
Because I've seen bench players and bench coaches be thrown out and not the manager. It's whoever's barking at him gets thrown out. So you're telling me that if anybody in that dugout barks at the umpire has the ability to just throw out the manager?
I guess he does, but
that doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't seem right at all. And also, he's denying that the guy above the dugout said it. But the guy above the dugout clearly said it.
Well, he's in trouble because you know what he doesn't know is that there's footage.
Yeah.
Now, when he sees that footage, is he going to back off? Because he probably figures, the cameras probably didn't pick that up. But when you see Boone saying nothing and you see a fan mouthing the words that you hear, he's going to have to apologize.
Hey, you know what? It's like Patino a month ago. I just want to wait now. Let's just sit back and wait now, guys, because he has to back off of it.
I don't think he will.
Well, he has to. I mean, when you see the footage and you just see.
But he's going to say, it wasn't the guy above the dugout. I heard something from the. He's already saying it. He's playing like the hero. People pay to see players. But, you know, Aaron Boone's the manager of those players. He doesn't throw them out for no reason. And I'm going to tell you another thing, and I've said this over and over again. You reap what you sow. Aaron Boone has been thrown out so many times since becoming the manager of the Yankees that the umpires are looking for a reason to toss him. They all have rabbit ears when it comes to Aaron. And I think Aaron has tried to be so much better this year where he's not barking on every single pitch. But because he defends his players incredibly, I think umpires are sick and tired of it, and they don't give him the benefit of the doubt. They're looking to throw him out. I think that's what happened today, Peter.
I hate to go comparing Aaron Boone to someone with a mixed reputation, but I think it's actually appropriate because there's a lot of good to this guy, too. It starts to be a little bit of Draymond Green. At a certain point, when you're used to something every single day, and at this point, every manager knows. I was actually speaking to someone. Mike, I don't know if you know this. I do research when I'm not on
the I didn't know that, no.
And over WrestleMania weekend, I talked to someone who is in, how would I describe what he does? He's involved in the officiating of Major League games and is on the field. And he said, "Yeah, everyone is over Boone. Like it's a constant thing. You know you're signing up for it. Same way, Don, that you know you're going to hear from Draymond 5 minutes into a game. You know you're going to hear from Boone." Right. Michael's right. Eventually, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt at all.
But what I need Major League Baseball to do is get involved here, because first of all, he's not telling the truth. Second of all, these self-imposed, like, these rules, like I can throw a manager out for something somebody else says.
I know no such rule.
If that's not a rule and that's just something he arbitrarily does, I would think Major League Baseball's got to get involved in that. All right, it's game, 23? Whatever. But if that's a World Series game and my bat boy barks something, my manager can get thrown out of the game. I can understand if you can't shut him up. If Hunter said, "Shut him up or you're gone." Something like that. But he admitted it didn't come from where Boone was, so you can throw the manager out for something somebody else says?
Well, because there is video, yes, did a great job, and they had the camera on Aaron, and he gets thrown out, never said a word. So you're telling me that Hunter Wendelstedt has invented this rule.
Yeah.
I can't throw out a player, so he's responsible for everybody in the dugout. It's crazy.
I've never heard that. Then maybe that is to the discretion of the umpire, but I've seen guys on the bench get thrown out for barking at an umpire and the manager get to stay. Like I said, if his hitting coach is screaming at the umpire and the manager and the umpire says, "Hey, if you don't quiet him down, you're both gone," something right. like that. But to throw him out, and you just said that I'm throwing him out for something somebody else in the dugout did, and then we find out it wasn't somebody in the dugout, it was a fan behind the dugout. That's a bad look, man. Baseball's got to get involved.
So this is the second ejection of the season for Aaron, and it's 35 ejections since 2018, the most in the majors among any manager. So I'm telling you, I think he realizes, because I see a different demeanor from Aaron in the dugout. It does not help the team to ride the umpires all the time, because you're never, ever going to get the 50-50 call. You're just not. And they're going to look to throw you out like Wendelstedt did today. Now, that's not excusing Wendelstedt, because he's in the dead wrong. I remember I was a writer and Billy Martin was a manager. And I was walking out of the stadium at 1 o'clock after writing a story, and I saw his car was still in the parking lot. So I doubled back, I went inside, and he's sitting there, you know, with his T-shirt on. And I looked in, I said, "Everything okay?" And he waved me in, and he goes, I'm going to quit. He said, "Because of my reputation, all the calls go against my team. I can't have my team lose because of me. I'm gonna resign." Now, that might have been a couple of drinks in, big front page story at the Post, right. But that's how he felt. I think umpires are very, very, very thin skinned, and they think they are judge and jury, and you know what? They are, and they have the power to do this. But I would hope that somebody in Major League Baseball says, "Hunter, you exceeded your authority. That was a bad look what you did." Yeah. He didn't say a word.
Yeah, Major League Baseball's got to get involved. And again, I need clarification on this supposed rule. I don't know that. You cover baseball way more than I do. You've never heard of it.
But it sounds like he said it was his rule.
Yeah, he made it up.
He's like, "This is my rule." It's, like, it's the him rules.
But that's not the way life works, Peter. There's rules within the game, and you just can't arbitrarily say, "Well, this is how I handle things." That so if there's some other umpire, then he wouldn't have been thrown out. But even if that you let slide, okay, your rule betrayed you, because it wasn't even anybody in the dugout that said it.
Now, at the time that he spoke to the pool reporter, Wendelstedt said that he had not seen a replay. Then he went on to say, "Everything you said is exactly kind of what was communicated on the field. That's what Aaron said. He said that a fan said it. I said, I don't care who said it. It's foolish to throw out a player if you don't know who did it. The manager's there. Aaron took the hit, and he probably, you know, is not the one who made the comment, but once again, he's the manager of the Yankees. He's responsible for the team." That's not a rule. It's not a rule.
It doesn't matter who said it. Of course it matters who says it, especially when it's not even somebody that's on the team.
Let's go to the phones.
You know what? He got embarrassed that he went over there reacting to something a fan said. And he can't let it go. He can't believe it.
You know what I like about Hunter? The Bob the Builder hat that he wears.
Mm.
He's the only umpire that wears it. You know Bob the Builder.
No, of course.
Yeah. He, look at his helmet. He looks like Bob the Builder.
I got to take a look at it.
Oh, I think you'll love it. Let's go to Ron in Rockland. Ron.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
What's going on?
Not much, man. I heard about Judge being booed.
Yep.
And I don't know how big of a sample of the crowd it was. But I'm flabbergasted, man. This guy's on the Mount Rushmore of home run hitters, and he conducts himself with aplomb, whatever, I blew that word. I just don't get it. How do you do that?
Well, Ron, I spoke about this a little earlier, and I said, to what end are you booing this guy? You can be upset. I get it. He's not hitting. But this is Aaron Judge. He's never embarrassed the organization. He's never embarrassed the Yankee logo. He's never embarrassed himself or his family. He plays the game hard. He plays it the right way. I've always been of the belief, somebody doesn't hustle or embarrasses a uniform, boo him. And I'm saying you don't have the right to boo. Please don't get into that argument.
Mm.
You have the right to boo. You pay for a ticket, you could boo. But as I said earlier, what are you trying to accomplish? You think you're going to make him hit because you're booing? You don't think he's trying? And all the while, this is a New York fan base, Yankee fan base, that is trying to seduce Juan Soto. You don't think Juan Soto sees you're booing Aaron Judge, the captain of the team? You don't think he sees that?
So if it's
close in the money that's being offered here or there, you don't think that's going to... What are you people doing? I'm not deriding you for doing it, and I'm not saying you can't do it. What are you doing, though? For what reason? Do you think that it's cool? New York is just like every other city. We used to be so sophisticated. Now we have fans coming outside Madison Square Garden going, "We want Boston." And we have fans booing Aaron Judge. Now, I remember Derek Jeter got booed in 2004. He was 0-32. Mariano got booed because he blew two saves to the Red Sox. Also, incomprehensible. I don't ever remember Mattingly get booed. He told me he was. I never remember Mattingly getting booed. But back then, the crowds weren't that big anyway.
Right. I'm sure there might have been a time he was booed, but not enough for anybody to notice.
So, I don't know how big the crowd was today, but it was a sellout on Saturday. It was Aaron Judge bobblehead day.
Yeah.
They booed him loudly at the end. They booed him today as well. For what? What are you trying to accomplish?
I don't think they put any thought into it. It's a reaction.
Well, I wonder, like, it's November 12th, and Juan Soto signed somewhere else. And he said, you know what? It was close, but I remember them booing Aaron. I just wonder, would you feel guilty as fans? Would you feel stupid?
Well, the reason I feel funny, even with the Knicks stuff, we're talking about a small percentage.
No. Not at the stadium on Saturday. That was allowed. That was not a small percentage.
But I don't think that represents how all Yankee fans feel.
Well, you can only judge by the people that were there.
But listen, especially on his bobblehead day, we sometimes give way too much credit for the intelligence of fans or how diehard they are based on the fact that they're in the building. All right? How many of them really know the Yankees, know Judge? Are they there just to get the bobblehead? They're there because they happen to be in town. And, oh, look, everybody's booing, so I'm going to boo too. You know, people are sheep. A few people start booing them. Oh, it's fun. Let's boo them. You think they're putting thought into what it's going to do for the long-term ramifications of the team? Or are they just reacting to a disappointment because they want to go there to see Aaron Judge hit a home run and he had the audacity to strike out?
It's so annoying.
There's no way a diehard fan who gets what's going on with his team, understands the history of Judge, is going to sit there, Peter, and boo.
I'd love to hear from a fan who boos for poor batting. I've always wondered the logic there. I don't get it. It's the hardest thing to do. You're Aaron Judge. You know that all the guy does generally is get on base. He's struggling. There's obviously something going on. You think he's just not trying? Like, you know, if video had come out yesterday and we saw that he was at Tao, drunk at 2:30 in the morning, guys, I think I could get behind booing him today. But we don't know anything about Aaron Judge except that he always hustles and does the work, and he's struggling. So what the hell are his own fans booing him? How is that going to help anything?
And you know what? At least five prominent members of the team were sitting front row at the Knick game on Saturday. Aaron Judge always goes to the games. He didn't go. You know why? He probably thinks it's not a good look for me to go when I'm struggling.
Yeah.
He's not Pete Alonso. He's not going to be dancing on stage after the team lost. It's just not his way.
A jab at Pete Alonso.
And I like Pete Alonso, but I don't think that was a perfect optic. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't perfect.
But it was the first week of the season.
I get it.
But isn't it sad that that has to be the thought process of a professional athlete? I went 0-4 today and our team lost, so I'm going to sit in my house and not go out because somebody might see me having a good time. Like, isn't that sad? Like, Pete Alonso hit a home run that day. His team happened to lose. So he's got tickets to a concert, and he's invited onto the stage, and I'm just going to stay home. I get both sides of the argument, but what if this ends up being a 100-loss season for the Mets, or he has a struggle, so he's got to sit in his house and cry? Can't leave the house? Like, isn't that I think that's sad.
I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying that optically, sometimes people look. It is sad. Society has changed, Don.
But to the caller earlier when we were arguing about I want Boston, sometimes you just have to say, I don't care what you think. I'm a human being. I've got tickets to a concert. I want to go to a Knick game. I want to go to a Ranger game. I'm not going to dictate what I'm going to do that night based on how we played the day before or earlier that day or overall this season. I mean, listen, nobody's going to feel sorry for a professional athlete that makes millions of dollars and get to do what he does for a living that he loves doing. But wouldn't that be a sad existence if you literally couldn't leave your house because you went 0-4 that day? Because it would look bad if you went and stopped for Chinese food or went and go see a movie? Believe me, these athletes get over it. Way more than fans do. They got a life to live.
But I wonder if fans, like, you know, connect the two things. So Aaron Judge is always great with fans, especially kids. So if he's walking out of a ballpark on the road or something, people ask him for, and he just blows by him, you don't think he remembers what happened? So do we know if it's those fans? But that's why some players are not great with fans, because they hear the boos. They hear what's being said. And again, I know we're going to get phone. I could do whatever I want. You could. You could, tough guy. And you did. And all I'm asking you, what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to boo him into hitting 400? Because that's going to be his motivation?
That'll
you don't,
do it.
You don't think he's motivated enough? You don't think it's keeping him up at night that he hasn't hit and that he's been so bad? But your booing's going to make it better? But as Don always says, and this is what I should really learn to adapt, they're not thinking that far ahead.
No, they're just, and I get it as a fan, Peter, you're a fan too, that sometimes you react in the now and then look back and go, that was silly to do. They pay a lot of money for their tickets and they're upset about the way the team is playing. But Aaron Judge, this guy has done nothing but give you absolute joy as a Yankee fan. And the guy works his tail off. He's got no history of Jake in it. He's got no history of not caring. He re-signed with your team. I would think if there's anybody that would catch a break, it would be him.
But he doesn't.
You know, Mo Rivera got booed. Derek Jeter got booed. Mickey Mantle got booed. Doesn't matter the generation. I guess it's just something that's inherent about this about this fan base.
Frankie, Putnam County. Frank.
Whenever I hear Potvin, for as long as I can remember, it always made me get in the mood for pot roast, buttered noodles, and buttered rolls.
Okay. Well, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm walking around the last few years saying, why is my love for football, hockey, and basketball still the same? But why is baseball like dropped off? And it's got to be because I was just under the cut to see the four divisions. I just made that, you know, probably Peter's age. And probably maybe that's the same with Peter. And I think since then they've gone from two playoff teams in each league to six, whereas the other three sports, football's added one. Hockey actually has stayed the same. Harder to get into hockey because there's more teams. Basketball, you could make an argument it's more challenging now. You got to get in the top six, take your chances. And also...
But basically, wait a minute, Frank. I mean, the other sports had a lot more playoff teams than baseball.
To start with, I understand, but in our abbreviated lifetime, baseball has been like shock therapy. They've really jumped ahead.
I think they drag their feet. I really do, because people look at baseball like it's church, like it can't be touched. It's like it's tablet handed down by God. That's why they don't change anything. They put a pitch clock on, people's heads exploded. They put advertising patches to make more money on sleeves, people's heads explode. I'm sorry. Having one team make it out of each league is not good for television. It's not good for money. You got to understand it's a business. They have not done anything to shock the world.
I don't agree with his reasoning. But as a fan of all the sports, I do feel as I've gotten older, baseball has kind of fallen off for me.
Yeah, but
it doesn't seem to be as exciting. I think the other sports have become more exciting. We may not like it with the three-point play, but there's a younger generation that loves the threes in the NBA. Hockey's way more exciting than it was 20, 30 years ago. Football, Michael, it's ridiculous, football. I mean, the draft is going to crush any of the playoff games that are going to be played this week. Pulverize it.
You mean the NFL draft this week?
Oh, Thursday, yeah.
I didn't know.
And beyond.
I did not know that.
But baseball, just for me, I'm just speaking for me, it does feel like it's not caught up as much. And I think the analytics, for me, is the major reason, not the number of playoff teams and all that. Just the game has just kind of gotten a little bit one or two-dimensional. Walk, strikeout, home run. Pitchers not going deep into games. It's not the game that I fell in love with.
Peter, I know you've fallen in love with Pepe Motors, though.
How did you know that?
I know.
Well, you know what, Michael? Thank you for saying that, because guess what? It is Peter Rosenberg here, and I do want to talk to you about my friends over at Pepe Motors. With over 300 available sedans and SUVs, gas or all electric, Genesis White Plains has the right vehicle for you. Take a 13-month test drive with their short-term lease programs on three all-electric models. Shop from the comfort of your own home at GenesisFlightPlans.com or visit their showroom. They are all fully operational, by the way, during renovations to serve you. And the 23,000-square-foot showroom will be open this summer. Genesis of White Plains is celebrating their one-year anniversary and are a Circle of Prestige winner, awarded to the top-performing dealers in the country using both sales and service metrics. Genesis of White Plains, newest member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
It's easily the most anticipated sporting event of the year, and there's some big ones going on. The pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer. Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there on May 5th to witness the showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Now, this was tweeted out by Barstool.
Okay.
And I'm looking to see, am I being pickled or whatever the case may be, but it looks like Barstool is reporting this, and it's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark's jersey has sold more than the entire Dallas Cowboys sold all last year, their team.
Well, it kind of makes sense.
But Dallas has two of the top five players, like Dak Prescott's jersey.
No, but you buy a jersey, you buy a jersey, Michael. You're not buying jerseys every day. It's not right. Like milk or bread. So here is somebody that a year ago was not on really that many people's radar, except if you were a diehard women's college basketball fan. And now you literally had 12 million people watch her games, and in some cases even more than that, that now have been exposed to her, love her, and they're all going out and buying her jersey. Like, so what other athlete can make that kind of a jump? Like, NFL players are going to college players are going to be drafted into the NFL on Thursday. And maybe people will go buy their jerseys, maybe they won't. But we're talking about somebody that wasn't really on anybody's radar, now is one of the best to do it at her level, and now people want to go out and get her jersey.
Well, and there are people supporting her
right.
who aren't even basketball fans. It's like, it's the principle. You know, she's more than... This now goes beyond just what she does on the court. It's kind of what she represents.
I always found it interesting when they talk about, well, this jersey sold the most. Well, I mean, how many jerseys are you going to buy? I mean, if you're a Cowboy fan, you probably have a Dak Prescott jersey. You're not buying one every year. But when if Dak Prescott were to go sign with the Broncos, then I guess he would elevate because now all the Bronco fans would get the new jersey. It is a person that has become so hot, and no one had her jersey before, so yeah, all those people went out and got it. So if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. But it is just I don't remember since Linsanity somebody captivating the imagination of a nation so quickly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. 1-800-919-3776. Mark in the car. Mark.
Good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, what's Mark. Up? What's up, man?
I just want to make two quick points on the judge booing thing, which I'm absolutely totally against. I think Don hit the nail on the head. A lot of those people that are doing this, they are not regulars. They go one game, two games a year. They want to see Judge go 4-for-4, four home runs. But the second point is, I think that the fans are starting to mirror the old feeling we had about the media, that the players don't want to come to New York because of how hard the media is on them. We always used to say, this guy can't handle New York, this guy can't handle New York. And now I feel like that's come on more from the fans. And to your point saying about Juan Soto, he's going to remember that. And if we start booing him, he's going to run right out of town. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. I love you. Talk to you soon.
Well, here's a little secret, okay? The New York media, the big bad New York media, is benign. You know what drives players nuts? Social media. The average person, what they say, and fans.
Just the fans in the stadium. I mean, it wasn't the media that made things so rough for the Mets at the beginning of last season. Was that the beginning of last season or 2 years ago already?
No, beginning of last season.
Last season.
That wasn't the media. No, that was actually fans in the ballpark.
You want a tough media? Go to Boston. New York media is completely the opposite of the perception of New York media. It's easy.
But don't you think it's changed to where back in the day, and I think we've argued about this before, that a media member, whether it's a radio talk show host or a columnist or a journalist in the paper, can sway the influence of the fans. I think the fans now are probably more swayed by social media or just their own.
Well, I think talk radio sways fans.
Yeah, but I think
talk radio is more powerful now than the media.
But I also feel like the fans now can get their own opinions because they have they're part of social media, so they used to have to wait for somebody else to have an opinion, and then they generate the opinion and call in or go to the stadium and boo. But now they watch the game, and Judge goes 0-for-4, then go right to Twitter, and that becomes their newspaper. Yep. That becomes their talk show. They can rip Judge. And then, as you said, the players pick up on that. I think a player ruffle his feathers way more looking at social media than I think picking up a newspaper or turning on the radio.
Again, they might not like headlines and tabloids, but in terms of the writers, they're very fair.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very, very mellow. They're not like it used to be.
You don't have to twist the player's arm not to listen to sports radio or pick up a newspaper. They don't want to do that anyway. But social media, they want to be on social media. They want to see that, so they can't help but notice it.
We can see. I mean, social media, to me, really affected Kevin Durant more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was in on everything. Now, I was listening to a show the other day where they said that social media probably drove Kevin Durant out of Golden State. Because, the narrative was, what has he ever done? He just joined a team that won a championship anyway. And he didn't want that. He didn't like that. That was the narrative. So he left.
Right.
So forget about the media. Social media. That's the thing that does it. Fran in Massapequa. Fran.
Hey, Fran.
I enjoy being at home. I mean, don't get me wrong. Just because the topics, you know what I mean? I almost forgot what I called about.
You said the ups are horrible.
There's no doubt about that. But before I get to that, Caitlin has done what Taylor Swift has done to the basketball world. All the little girls and all the good people are going out and they're buying a jersey. They love her, just like Taylor Swift. A lot of people say, how do these people all love her? And the same thing is happening here. When you're marketable, you're marketable. Now, moving on. Mike, I got to disagree with you before I get I don't even know if I want to disagree with Don, but before I get to Don, I think the umps are horrible. I agree. But I don't think that the umps got it out for Boone. They might, a certain ump might say, hey, I've thrown him out before. Yeah, maybe. I think it's a little strong to say that, all the umps have it out for him. That's all. That's my opinion.
I can't speak for every umpire, friend, but I could tell you they're all thin-skinned. I shouldn't say all. Most are thin-skinned. And his past behavior, where he backs up his players, has cost him. And I think that he's gone into the season with a dedicated attempt not to do it that much. So, yeah, I think it's hurt him. I think it's hurt him. I think now they are waiting for him. They do not give him the benefit of the doubt. So the things that made him so beloved, savages in the box.
Yeah.
Well, all those things that went viral, they're embarrassing to the umpires to get yelled at like that. Even if he was right. And I know, Aaron, I think he was trying to cut back this year. Let's go to Rich in Rockville Center.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Rich?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm calling about Hunter Wendelstedt's response to what he mentioned to Brian Hotz.
Yep.
I'm surprised that hasn't been, like, crushed even harder because, like, how can you not just – isn't the easiest thing to do is to just say, like, I screwed up, my bad, it's over? But to, like, go back and, like, try to explain how badly you screwed that up, like, how is that cool? Like, why would you not just...
Because these guys, you know what, Rich? These guys do not like to admit they're wrong.
Nope.
They probably hate replay, which shows when they're wrong.
Right.
And I think it's easier for him to, like, talk into a word puzzle and gibberish rather than to say, you know what, I thought it was him and it was a guy. It's my bad. But he won't do it. I mean, his dad was an ump. He's been an ump for over 35 years. He's not admitting he was wrong.
And that's why he came up with the whole thing of his own rules. If he does it under the guise of, well, I have a rule, in his eyes, that makes it look better. Even though to us, it sounds absolutely insane.
It's one of the only authority figures in the world that people either hate or no one cares about. You've got 50,000 people in a building, and the umpire is useless to most of them. That's got to affect your ego at some point. So sometimes when you got a chance to flex, you flex.
Let's go to Arthur in Brooklyn. Arthur?
Hi, hello?
Hi, Arthur.
Hey, Arthur.
How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I just wanted to talk about, I know you've been talking about this, but I just wanted to talk about the umpire and during the Yankees, the Yankee game today.
Yep.
I think it was really ridiculous. I mean, I just, like, how do you screw that up?
Well, I think what it is, Arthur, is that they have rabbit ears and they're always listening. You know, if you just ignored it. Now, I can see if a player gets in your face and drops F-bombs and says something about your mother or your wife, but you're listening to hear something, to hear it from the dugout. You just are.
But what I never understood, you're an umpire. You might as well be God as far as baseball is concerned. You made a call. Now, replay changes that a little bit. But you call strike three, it can't be changed. That's it. You've been struck out. You're done. So why would you get upset at somebody yelling at you? You can't lose that argument. You're out. I can't go back and change it. Even if I wanted to go back and change it, I can't change it. So why are you getting so upset? Let him have his peace and then go back. If you knew you were going to win every argument, Michael, would you ever raise your voice? They win every argument because it can't be changed unless it's replay. So what are you getting upset for other than letting your ego get in the way?
Let's go to Steve in Pearl River.
Forever, I think.
Oh, Blower, thanks for taking the call. You know, I want to address this booing of Judge nonsense, okay? So never mind all the home runs, etc. So you're going to boo a guy who took on a fence to make a play and nearly got away with it, you know, toe aside. You're going to boo that guy. Would I never even consider booing Aaron Judge, but I will tell you this. If I was in this stadium and I heard people booing him and they were in my general vicinity, I would ask them what their problem was. Maybe I would ask them if they were dropped on their heads when they were children by their parents and then they grew up.
I like this guy.
I'm never doing it.
Let's get a drink at the saloon, Steve.
I like this guy. I like this guy too.
Don wants to join at the saloon tonight.
I mean, I don't live there close anymore, but I would make the trip to hang with you.
I mean, when did baseball become 162 one-game seasons, guys? I have no idea. I don't get it. But no, you know what?
You bring up great points, and you ignore Don's invitation.
Well, just shows you his passion.
He was he didn't even know that someone else talked.
Yeah.
That was like a long comma for him.
I would have picked up the tab, too, man.
But the best thing he said, the guy ran through a wall.
He literally
broke his toe.
if a to guy make a will play,
and that's,
wall
who,
for
that's
you.
Who you're booing, geniuses. That's who you're booing. That's the now, guy you're booing.
Where I want to hear. I want to hear from the gutless puke who booed. Right. Call and tell us right now. Explain yourself.
All right.
Show yourself.
Steve, let it all out. You're in the car. Take a couple of deep breaths. Call back. I want to hook up. I want to go to the saloon.
We have a special
guest.
We'll
get some wings and a beer.
After the break, you're going to love our guest.
Oh, yeah?
Who's listening. Yeah, you'd say he's one of the greatest of all time.
One of the greatest what's of all time?
I'm going to leave that open for you to interpret. But what he does, he's one of the greatest who ever lived.
Okay.
So it could be a director.
Yeah.
Could be an actor.
Could be.
He's going to come on.
Yeah.
But I don't want to lose sight of the fact I want Steve to call back. I want to break bread with this man.
I don't think he's of the right mind.
Like, I'm trying to be consistent. That does not sway me.
All right.
Still want to eat with him.
The hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They will contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva, along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. Lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer without any shots. Go to njdiet.com. Well, to hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly. No different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right, so visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by, you'll get the Michael K treatment.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
This is to the Yankee fans that are listening. What are you doing? I mean, can we be friends here? What are you doing booing Aaron Judge? Now, I understand he's played horribly. I get it. He's the captain of the team. He's represented the team in the best way. You definitely have the right. But to what end? You're trying to seduce Juan Soto to stay. And then Juan Soto sees his own fan base turning on the Yankee captain who broke the American League home run record 2 years ago. And you're booing him. To what end? Is he not trying? If he wasn't trying, you should boo him out of the ballpark. He's trying. Don, what are they doing? There's nobody that's immune to booing anymore. Well, you know, I earned that. I really
did. You know what?
Well, Knicks fans, don't miss MSG Network's coverage of Game 2 tonight between the Knicks and the Sixers with pregame coverage at 7 p.m. and tip-off with the Hall of Fame duo of Mike Breen, Walt Clyde Frazier at 7:30. MSG Network's is your local home for all first-round Knicks coverage. Now, when I said this gentleman is the best, you know, one of the best to ever do it, so when the history of the world is written,
right,
and they write about the greatest sports columnist in the history of the world, this guy's in the top three. I mean, you can put
so he's
him,
on the Mount Rushmore.
With one head left out.
Right.
Yeah, even if Mount Rushmore was three people, he'd be on it.
So who is this
guy?
I'm envisioning someone. I hope I'm not wrong.
Tell me who.
Well, this could be so. This is dangerous.
This could be embarrassing.
I'm not going to say
it. The only
I'm
person, done. When yeah. you said it,
right.
I envisioned Mike Lupica.
And that's too. Who's here. Oh,
that's what I was going to say.
Mike.
Wow. That would have been a bad spot if somebody else was on, but I was thinking of you, buddy.
How are you, Mike?
Well, hi, guys. Listen, you know, I was just thinking when we were talking about Mount Rushmore, Michael, and I remember in the old days when we used to hear that not only did Clyde have a parking space for his roles, he had a blank space next to it.
Yep.
So I don't think you need to put another. Just keep the space next to me empty.
I love it. I love it. So I know you were listening to the show or watching the show. I'm not sure how you're consuming it. And something drove you to want to call in. What do we got, Mike? Nerve did we touch?
No. When you're talking, because you were talking about how good the Yankees were going a year ago when Judge got hurt. And I thought the other day I was curious because I actually thought they were going better than they were when he got hurt. That they were in third place. They were two games behind the Orioles. And Michael, I completely forgot the way the Rays were playing into June and July last year. The Rays were like 41-19 or something, and in first place when Judge got hurt. But no, I really was watching today because I had actually seen what happened with Aaron Boone. Because Zach called me up and he said, Dad, are you watching? I said, Zach, I actually happened to be watching. Michael, that's one of the craziest ejections in the history of baseball.
It's funny because Don just pointed out the video to me. Aaron Boone's actually looking at his nails
right,
when he gets thrown out.
That's the universal sign for I'm ignoring you.
He's looking down like, I need a pedicure or manicure or something.
Did I leave the bathroom light on?
Yeah, no, I've never seen anything like that happen before. But here's I just texted you as I like to do because I know Don and Peter, you know this. I could text him between C and yeah, and he would respond.
I know it's one of his best qualities. I'll say that.
No, multitasking doesn't even begin to describe what Michael is like in that Yankee booth. But, Michael, you are right about social media versus media. I mean, it. Anybody who thinks, you know, Mike, you remember in the day, Don, you remember this too, you know, when Doc Gooden, I was actually talking to Doc about this, you know, stand up and boo
from
after
Dick
he got
Young.
Out of rehab.
Yep.
Right. And you know, people, you could do that in those days, okay? I mean, I tell my kids all the time, I said, Daddy used to be on the side of the trucks. Now there aren't even trucks. So the world... But you are so right. It's Instagram, it's Twitter, it's all of that stuff. The athletes aren't reading. They're not looking at the back page anymore. Maybe they will. I mean, if they trip on it on the way to the trainer's room. But social media drives everything these days. And you're 100% right about Kevin Durant. And I'm still stunned at how much time he still spends responding to people on social media. Michael and Peter and Don, it's like swinging at ghosts. What are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? But this idea that, oh my God, people don't want to come to New York because of the New York media, that is an idea out of the past like 8 tracks. Okay, that is an idea so desperately far out of the past. It just we don't live in that world anymore.
And it's amazing that it's a perpetual narrative that continues to exist. Like when the Daily News and the New York Post were slugging it out every single day for the best back page. It doesn't exist. And you said trip over a newspaper? Mike, I'd give you $1,000 for every newspaper you found in the Yankee clubhouse.
And Mike, you remember you used to, like when it's Shea, I can't, you know, I remember that big table in the middle of the clubhouse at Shea? All of the papers would be spread out, and not just one copy of each paper. And you'd walk in, and I mean, oh my God, Keith Hernandez would be reading everything, okay, everything. And that just doesn't, that world doesn't, that space doesn't exist anymore. I mean, you remember in the old days, Nettles once said about Reggie, if you walk by his locker and were acted like you weren't going to talk to him, he'd trip you, okay? And because, Michael, they wanted us. It was a transactional relationship. Okay, they wanted to be in the paper. And the dirty little secret about, and you touched on this today, is people think that we in the print media are only there to rip you. Michael, you could go back after my entire career, and my column is so much more positive about sports than negative. Mm. Listen, I'll go after you. I will go after, I'll slug it out with you in the middle of Broadway. But most of the time, we all go to celebrate sports because we know that our jobs get easier when the teams are doing well.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Mike, I know it's very early, but are you getting any 94 vibes at the Garden this year?
It's a really fun team, and I, my rooting interest is strictly Chris Kreider because, Don, as you well know, you can never go wrong with a Boston College man.
That's
we say, I know you guys you guys talk about that. And the big guy, the Godzilla, he scored the first goal last night.
That's right.
I mean, they it's a very fun team, and it's a big story. And I am an unabashed Jalen Brunson fanboy on the other side of things. And the guy, it's a really good time. If your teams are the Rangers and the Knicks, this is a really fun spring for you to be watching your teams.
How are you doing otherwise, Mike?
I am doing fine. We have one grandson. We have another one on the way. And we just had my 15-month-old grandson. Taylor and I had him for 3 days. And, Michael, there's grandparenting, and then there's extreme grandparenting, okay? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what. 3 days of chasing my beloved grandson around, that was extreme grandparenting. But it's just everything I've heard is it's even more fun being a grandparent than I ever thought it
was. I don't want to hurt you, but, I mean, there's no way you changed the diaper. That was all Taylor.
I did it. I absolutely did it. Yep. Taylor was
like
out.
Chernobyl.
There was no. We had four kids, Don.
Yeah, he's got some experience.
Yeah, but no, Taylor wasn't a single parent, Don. And so
she might say she was.
So yes, I changed my first diaper in about 25 years. But you know what? It's like riding a horse. Well, it's like riding a pooping horse, but it all comes back to you.
A small pooping horse.
By the way, when you guys are talking about Hunter Wendelstedt, there's so many things that happen in sports that make me think of Jimmy V. And, NC State making a run this year, that was great. But this was a variation of Jimmy calling the ref over one time. He said, "Can you give me a technical for what I think?" And the ref said, "No." And Jimmy says, "Good, because I think you suck."
Since there's so much comedy, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Curb finale.
Oh, I thought it was great. I actually, I'll comedy legend name drop here. I told that to the creator and the host of the show the other day. I had a feeling. Deep Curb fans saw this coming from the minute he got arrested in Atlanta,
yeah.
Okay? That this guy was brilliantly going to relitigate the Seinfeld finale. And I just thought it was bringing Jerry back was tremendous. And I don't know what you guys said. Did you not like it?
No, we all liked it.
We loved it. I mean, just think about it, Mike. How often does a guy tie up two shows?
Oh no! And when Jerry comes to the only bittersweet thing was Richard Lewis, who across the run, I had gotten to know a little bit, and a huge, huge sports fan. I had been texting with him like a week before he died. I was so happy he was in the last.
But he was in the last scene. I mean, that's what made it almost so perfect. Mike, I'm curious for your thought on this. It popped into my mind during that last episode. There was a sort of random scene, I thought, where Larry, Leon, Susie, and Jeff all end up sitting at a diner together in the last episode. And it was very Seinfeld-esque. I don't think I've ever seen the four of them at a restaurant. I've never seen. And Leon starts saying, "Oh yeah, you know, I've been watching Seinfeld. That Kramer's crazy. He just shows up whenever he wants." And in that moment, Mike, I realized that Leon was Kramer, and it had never crossed my mind.
Yeah. It is. I'm telling you something. This guy, what he did to follow Seinfeld, okay, and to create an iconic show, and because of the gaps. It's around for a quarter of a century or thereabouts, okay? And to go out on a high note,
it's unreal.
You know, I will always be honored to be Costanza's favorite sports. I've blown through a break. Can I tell you one great story?
Yes, please. We don't care about breaks.
Yeah, well, who cares about breaks?
Okay. Okay. So Taylor and I, my youngest son lives in California. We're flying back, okay? And it's still a COVID-y time, and people are still wearing masks, okay? But in the waiting area, before we get on the JetBlue plane, Taylor said, that's Jason Alexander. And sure enough, we get on, okay? Only for the purpose of this story, Michael, because I know you fly coach, but I wasn't. Okay. So he's right behind us. It's that 212 thing on JetBlue, okay? And I have this rule about I call it Bill Goldman's rule, never introduce yourself to a famous person because you're only opening yourself up to heartbreak, okay? So right. I never do it, okay? But Taylor said, but it's huge George. So we land at Kennedy, and I text Larry, and I said, Jason's sitting right behind me. What should I do? And he said, you have to introduce yourself. You're Costanza's favorite sports writer. So as we're getting our bags from the overhead, I said to him, we share a very unusual bond. And I introduced myself, and he started laughing. He said, how often do people bring it up? And I said, about every 6 months when that episode comes around again. And he couldn't have been nicer. But that it was a form of sitcom immortality that I know. And because of that line, that's how my friendship with Larry began.
And wow. That's why you belong on, you know, the Mount Rushmore.
The Mount Rushmore with an extra spot next to you empty.
What do you feel about this? I'm spinning this ahead, Peter. That extra spot. Yeah. Why even sweat trying to fill it?
That's what I mean. You're right.
I'm not even sure that we even need the other two guys on the other side.
And you don't want to share an armrest with the guy next to you?
Oh, no, because Larry would call that encroachment.
Right, exactly.
On an airplane.
Mike, great to hear from you as always. Hope you're doing great.
I love you guys, and I was not disappointed, especially on the Hunter Wendelstedt stuff when I tuned in today, because I said I gotta get in on this.
Good stuff, Mike.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you soon.
Be well, guys. Bye bye.
Right. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Peter, what do you have?
Oh, so many things. And let me hurry up because we're a bit behind now, guys. But the road to the NBA Finals starts right now. New customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. Just all you got to do is head over to FanDuel.com/Peter and get in on the NBA playoff action. Three-pointers made tonight, maybe. Over under, point total for Brunson tonight. Whatever you want. First basket scorer, just head over to FanDuel.com/Peter. FanDuel Sportsbook. Official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Well, spring into savings at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle with special offers on over 500 new and many low-mileage certified pre-owned vehicles. They also have a $7,500 lease rebate on Mercedes-Benz EVs and hybrids. If you're looking to upgrade to the latest model or explore new features and technologies, now's the time to consider your options. Ask about additional American Express cardholder benefits. Visit them mbnewrochelle.com or in person and tell them that Michael sent you. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.